Hi, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
You're Abby.
Dear Kiki.
Red Flag. Desperate Housewife.
Pinot Grigio.
Doesn't want to marry you. Love you like I love you.
Don't talk to yourself.
Cheers, Beth.
Cheers.
Ill-advised.
This is ill-advised.
Hey, Beth.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
Welcome to Ill Advice,
the podcast where two best friends tell you what to do after someone else already has.
Like your local pharmacist.
And not her escort. But if she tells you to get on all fours, you better fucking get on all fours.
What prescription are we talking about here?
I believe it's fuck it all. And I am all.
Wow.
Oh. For the record, I'm not aroused right now. I feel like that felt desperate, like sounded desperate.
No, I didn't get that.
No? Good, because no. I'm not.
Oh, does that mean you got...
No, it does not.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say, do you have something to tell me?
No. No. I only think about my shameful past when I haven't told you something.
Ah, that's fair.
Right now, I'm pretty much only ashamed that there's something on my kitchen counter and I'm going to say it's filthy.
I need more.
That's all.
Details.
It's just like my dirty is you're like, oh, this is what you bitched about. This is filthy.
Oh, like every...
And I'm like, I literally just left a cutting board out or something.
Every time I'm on my way to your house, you're like, oh, don't worry about it. And I walk in and I'm like...
I know, I should stop saying that just as like a practice to like not...
Yeah.
Because it's an OCD thing. It's like it's a clean... I don't know what it is. I'm just going to stop.
It's like we have to excuse ourselves for things.
Right. That but I know that... Our levels of clean are polar opposites. Why am I telling you, pardon my house?
Right.
Like,
meanwhile,
my best friend of 20 years, like 20 plus years.
Right.
So, like, defend nothing, you asshole.
Right.
And second, like, though we have different?
Yeah.
Or different definitions of clean.
Right.
There's that.
I thought you had like a story or something to tell me.
I do. I have something to tell you. Oh. First, you're going to tell me how you're doing.
I am doing a fucking statistics course.
Statistics?
For psychology. Like, what?
It's a prereq. Ugh. Why do they make you do that? I did it too. But like, what?
I don't fucking know.
There are some parts of math I don't use.
Ever.
And I use a lot of math.
Graphs.
In my human resources.
Right.
As a professional mathematics professional.
Yeah, so I'm just like surviving.
But is that like defining your whole how you are?
It's definitely like my biggest stressor at the moment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many text messages should I expect per day once you get in the thick of it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to clear my entire social calendar. It's going to be like 9 p.m. Stuff's like, hey, this assignment's due at midnight. So
please
can you
answer.
Help me with this? If that's not our entire friendship in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're okay with it.
Yeah, amazingly, it works.
Yeah, it really does.
20-something years later.
I get to talk down to you. You get to talk up to me.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
How are you doing?
Oh, feeling that pickleback. Mm. Oh, shit. She's working.
Oh,
I feel like I got a facelift. My face is so tight right now.
I didn't know shots did that.
I'm like a 36-year-old virgin right now. So fack and tight.
Wrong cheeks, but
wrong cheeks. Okay. I accept. I'm actually really good thinking globally.
Globally.
Overall, globally was the first word that came to my mind when I'm thinking of like the bigger issues. But thinking of the big picture. I'm going to say I'm really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are parts of my life I would like to tackle, change, maybe tackle hard enough so it never comes back up.
Ah.
So it doesn't wake up. So it doesn't, so I give it a concussion.
A coma.
I'm not good. Just kidding. I'm still good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm actually really good. I'm happy. And I'm just taking it day by day. And I don't know who I am.
Yeah, you seem good.
Yeah, I am good.
I love it.
Yeah, I guess I do too.
I love to see it.
Oh, thank you, Ellen, so much. You want the best for me. My kitchen's almost done.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of contractors in the house. This is a story I needed to tell you.
Oh, great.
First one comes through. His picture on his profile is like, he's going to be so hot.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait to see this motherfucker.
The opening of a porno.
This is literally like the delivery man scenario we talked about a few weeks ago. And I'm like, bring him. Bring him to me on a conveyor belt and don't stop. Because that took me that long. No, but we'll figure it out.
Okay.
So he comes over and I'm like, no, I got contractor catfish.
I was just going to say.
But I'm like, you know, like whatever. He comes in, he looks at the work and he's like, easy, blah, blah, this, this and that. Like, it's going to be a great time. I'm like, great.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. I threw that in. And so he leaves. And the second contractor comes over a couple hours later. And it's the short guy that if like he didn't have that face, he'd be cute. You know, one of those situations. And he was little and I just wanted to throw over my shoulder. And he had a fucking big ass for a little man. Like, I'm surprised he didn't like fall backwards or he doesn't have posture issues.
Oh, that's wicked funny.
Comes in and he puts the ladder inside the kitchen, which is when I notice he's got
dump
for days. Yeah, not dump. Don't say dump. We're gay. I'm gay. He's
dunk.
Not, I don't know what he is. And he's like puts the ladder back and looks at me and he goes, hey, you're not that dude that puts on the long hair and does those cooking videos.
Stop it.
And I fucking whipped my head around. I was like, what? I asked for clarification.
Oh my God.
Right. You're not that dude that puts his, like, I like to, you know, make sure I know who my clients are. And he's like, I've seen your videos before.
Shut up.
He's like, you like to cook, right? And then he like points at my kitchen at all the fucking hanging pots and pans. I was like, yep, you found me.
Oh my God.
He's like, yep. He's like, I knew you looked familiar. I was like, what the fuck? For once. It finally happened.
Oh, that's wicked funny. So he saw you way before you. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Isn't that fucking funny?
That's awesome.
Right. I think it's fantastic. Also, when I see these people who have these videos, I'm like, you're like in Tennessee or Vancouver.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
not here.
Yeah.
So to like be recognized as someone local.
I know.
I was actually really proud.
Yeah.
I gloated about it and got shit for it. But I was like, I can't wait to tell Biff on the podcast.
Yes.
That was cool.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Well, that's cheers to that, famous friend.
Let's not get carried away.
Okay.
Would you like to know some information about this week's wine?
Mm-hmm.
It is 90 points, or it earned or won 90 points from Wine Enthusiast, which means nothing to us.
I was going
to
say, is that the one we're assuming out of 100?
Right. And and still don't know what the fuck that means.
Right.
Chateau Blagnon, I'm guessing. Grand Vin de Bordeaux. 2018 red blend, 51% Merlot, 49% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh.
Right. All the reds we like. Oh, there's a phonetic spelling, Blagnon. Blagnon. So I guess I was right. Was I right? Yeah. Your face says I'm right. Chateau Blagnon is one of the oldest estates in northern Medoc region of Bordeaux. And has been producing wine since the 14th century.
Oh.
With 215 acres of vineyards planted on clay limestone soils, the estate dry farms its grapes using sustainable farming methods. After harvest, grapes are macerated for 24 hours at 46 degrees Fahrenheit to release aromas and concentrate the fruit, and then vinified in a newly constructed temperature-controlled fermentation cellar.
This wine better macerate us.
No shit. Hubert de Bourbon. Accept it?
Yeah, Hubert.
Hubert, the internationally acclaimed, no fucking word. No, I can't even pronounce it.
Try.
O-E-N-O-L-O-G-I-S-T. Oenologist. Weenologist. I know. Well, he's the wine consultant, is how that finishes that. This wine has a very rich and deep ruby color with a fruity nose of cassis, gooseberries.
What the fuck is a cassis?
I have no fucking idea. And a hint of spices. With silky and generous tannins, it is delicious with pasta, barbecue, or on any chicken, pork, or beef dishes. Actually, it says pork of beef dishes. Oh. But I'm going to guess that's a translation thing.
Pork of beef.
Yeah, way to French translators.
Sounds like it's going to be a winter wine.
Yeah, drink responsibly as we're approaching spring.
Chance. My mouth instantly dried up.
Yeah, that would be the Merlot every time.
Oh, I got the spices.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Number two?
Yeah.
It got boozier to me on second. On the second. Your face is my eye right now.
My eye's watering.
What happened?
It's like vinegar with spices in it.
The first sip was better.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fuck. We've not been having great luck.
Not with the reds.
No. And I love reds usually. Yeah, we just got to stick with the basics. Maybe I don't love reds. Maybe I just like the reds I like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three?
I guess.
I'm taking a number four while you finish that sip.
Ah.
Oh, that transformed it a little for me. What flavors? Like, not fruit flavors, but, like, what sensation? Like, bitterness, sour? Like, it leaves a sour taste in the back of my tongue.
Ha! I don't know if I can do this one.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one deserves it.
My eyes.
It sure does. Really. Oh, man. If you've ever hated what you look like, you're going to hate it now.
Well, I'm going to have to chug this, so I don't care.
No shit. Please do. Yeah. I'm not getting the spices, which is weird because usually I get them before you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not getting them. And I don't know. Maybe we just don't like wine anymore.
Maybe we don't like red wine.
No, I love red wine.
We just had this discussion.
I know. I was here for it.
You don't.
This voice is my denial voice.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care. I'm gonna keep trying red wine. We love a good cab. Let's get real. But this is for a 2018 vintage that was $20. I don't know.
I'm going to say two because I've had worse. But this is not on my list ever.
You know, I'm going to go with you with a two.
My eye's watering. So that's my answer.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, I didn't choose it for any reason other than it was right in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I specifically went to the French wine section looking for their Sauvignon Blancs because they don't fail.
No.
They don't.
No.
I mean, sometimes they do.
That's fair.
Okay. Well, we're done bitching about bad wine. We're just going to try to drink it while we get through these questions this week.
Glad I'm reading.
Yeah, I'm glad you're reading too. I'm going to have to finish your wine for you.
Yep. Okay. I got a question.
Who do we have this week?
We have Ask Amy.
Oh, Amy Dickerson?
From Chicago. Dickerson? Like
Dickerson?
Dickerson?
Is it Dickerson?
Dickinson?
No, there's no N.
Yeah, there is.
There is?
Yeah.
There is?
Yes. Dickinson.
Well, all this time. Well, Dickinson. Blow me down.
Dickinson.
Amen.
This is the Chicago Tribune. This one is from March 6th. 2024.
Ooh, a few days ago.
At 3:30 a.m.
Oh, Amy doesn't sleep. That's what we should do when we can't sleep.
Look podcast. Up question.
Same thing. Same thing.
Right. Father-in-law puts innocent people behind bars.
Oh my God. He's in the mob. No, they don't put people behind bars in the mob.
I was going to say,
he's
you need to watch more mob movies.
He's a mob informant. but he doesn't know how to do his job? Mm-hmm. You want to read that question?
I was going to say, should you keep going or should I?
I know all I can do is speculate.
Dear Amy, my father-in-law is a retired law enforcement officer. Oh, there's your answer.
Retired or fired?
Law enforcement officer. Well, not mob.
Oh.
Or mob informant, unless he was undercover.
I guess I said it wrong because I meant undercover, but I know what the difference between informant and undercover. I just had wine today and picklebacks and
Trulies. And Kinkies.
You're pretty. You're so pretty. You look so great today.
Kinks, is this your wine goggles?
No, these are my prescription glasses.
I like them once.
Thank you so much.
Due to scientific advances since his retirement, it turns out that much of his career was a sham. DNA evidence has exonerated many of the people that he put behind bars to such a large extent that a television network chose to air a story about him and his corrupt practices a number of years ago. Oh my God.
I was just thinking, like, he's one of those, like, I've watched those case files.
He claims that he did his best with the information that he had. Nevertheless, it has become obvious that he has let his own biases and prejudices and, yes, racism get the better of him, and he put innocent people in jail. This has become the family secret that no one talks about. My children, now almost adults, only know that their grandfather had a distinguished career in law enforcement. He is now in poor health, and I am struggling with whether or not my children deserve to hear the truth about their grandfather. On the one hand, there seems to be nothing to gain by telling them the truth. But on the other hand, well, it's the truth, and perhaps they should know it. Your advice. On the fence.
This is juicy.
Yeah.
And also, when you write in with a fucking story like that, you need the full fucking story.
Also, I want to know the show that made.
Right.
Because I know I saw it.
But once you know what it is, it's like identifiable. You can find who was on that case these days.
Yeah.
So
maybe they tell
they're trying
you.
To like save it or whatever.
Yeah. Because I don't want to tell my kids yet. So.
Right. Right. But like, what do you gain from telling your kids that like.
Yeah. Why do they need to know that?
Right. Do they idolize him for his whatever? Then like for his career, then don't. Shudder that. Like, you have to have faith that if your kids are actually going for that, that they'd be doing it the right way. But also, we hear about that all the time. Like, a lot of those cold cases that are being solved now because of those advances in mm-hmm. science. You know? What is she on the fence about? Just about telling her kids?
Yeah, about, because he's in poor health now. Sounds like he's probably dying.
Dying? I feel like that's irrelevant. Like, why do you feel the need to tell your kids? What's it going to do?
Yeah, almost sounds petty.
Yeah.
Like, no, he wasn't a big wig in his career because actually he was a racist and locked up black people.
Right. And what do you have to substantiate that he was a racist? You know what I mean? Like, just thinking logically, like, what did he only lock up black people? Like, it's a serious accusation, I think.
Well, I mean, it's not far fetched for back in the day.
It's not. You're right.
It always was the...
But still, like, destroying his memory as he's dying.
It's like the petty baby mom or baby dad that's like, the kids love the other mm-hmm. parent. And they're like, yeah, well, your dad's a jerk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't change the kid's perspective of their dad. It only makes them like, oh, what the fuck? Like...
Yeah, it just feels self-serving.
Okay, yeah, you think he's a jerk. I don't.
Right. But this is... It's a juicy family secret. But also, why is it a family secret? Because it's a very common thing right now where cold cases that have been, since the DNA advancements, like the, is it just, it's not just DNA, the forensic, that's what it is, advancements. Like, it's not uncommon for, not that I'm saying that it's right, but people go off of like their instincts in law enforcement, and you know that he didn't act alone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. not one person in law enforcement makes the decision to go after a single person.
Yeah.
At least as far as I know. your kids deserve to know that they have a grandfather and he's sick and he's about to pass. He's part of the family. Unless you're concerned that his racism is rubbing off on them. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's like a real reason to bring that up. I feel like this is actually something you need to work through and be okay with. Like, the man's almost gone. Do you need to dissect it?
I agree.
Really?
That's a good point. That's like, why is this such a burden for you?
Sounds like something you need to work through. I think if it was something like more significant, like the racism part is also like, first of all, I don't want to ever like say, don't call it a racist. Call it a racist.
Yeah, you know? That's what it is.
But it feels like for the purposes of this story, it's irrelevant. Like, they were looking for a reason to degrade this person. It would make more sense if they said, hey, we're people of color. On my husband's side, they're white, and my husband's grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's not even that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have nothing else to add to it.
I don't think I do either. I think it's a very good point where it's like, why is this such a, you know, like, yes, that sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was a lot of people who spent a long time in jail on wrongful convictions. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not something to gloat in or whatever. But like, first of all, he's retired. Mm-hmm. That's his own burden to carry, mm-hmm. I guess. And not yours. So I think it's a good point of like,
right. Let him, he's about to have his last rites.
Get over it or don't.
Yeah. I'd like to know why this is such a big family secret. Is it because he is like an established racist? And that changes my response. But just based on the information we have, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, unless he like admittedly like doesn't care that he, you know, put these like, they're black anyways.
Right.
Type of.
Oh, yeah. That's another story.
Too. Yeah. Like.
But yeah, I don't think it's going to do you any good. I think what it might do is if the kids are close to the grandfather, that it might just create a rift.
Yeah. I don't think I know a single situation that like one parent badmouthed the other and the children were like, oh my God, you know what? You're right.
Right.
I dislike them now
it
too.
It only took me 15 years to say, oh my God, you know.
So let's see. Dear on the fence. Oh, yes, your children do deserve to know the truth about their grandfather, but I don't believe this is the right time or you are the right person to deliver it.
Okay, we'll find out.
This man is your father-in-law. I assume that you have a spouse on the scene and that this person is your father-in-law's child. You should encourage your spouse to approach this topic from a place of disclosure and honesty, but your spouse should make some basic choices about the timing. If your father-in-law's unlawful acts resulted in a televised depiction of his corruption, your children will find it if they Google his name.
Okay.
After your father-in-law's obituaries might note some of these scandals and crimes, inspiring your children to ask you about his history. You should point them toward accurate sources for information and encourage them to ask family members about their grandfather's role in this terrible and tragic history. They might expect some defensive responses or even stonewalling from family members, which is why they should seek more accurate or media sources for this information.
I hate that I see the logic in that response because Amy made it a point to list like how they're going to find out anyway. But at the same time, no, but I loved the part where she said, it's not your job, actually, essentially, like leave it to the son.
Yeah, I didn't catch that it was the father-in-law.
Oh, yeah, I figured that much. Probably because it was in the question. I don't know. It's too far away for me to remember.
Oh, right. It's the very first. My father-in-law.
So I was okay. So I wasn't assuming. I'd listened.
Yes.
This is really good. I'm getting so much better at listening. I love ADHD meds. But there's no value. I still think that there's no value. Yeah, sure. Let the actual child of that person make that decision. But what's the value behind it?
I feel like if I'm one of the children and I randomly come across one of my crime shows and it's my fucking grandpa, I'm going to be like, why didn't nobody tell me?
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, how could you not tell me?
That's true, especially when you can kind of like see anything that's ever aired ever these days. Everything's so accessible. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. It just feel, maybe wait till he dies. Like, if he's in such poor health, like, don't.
Do we think that's what Amy was trying to hint at about the timing?
Maybe. Maybe. That's the only thing that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
But even still, like, you wait until he dies and then what? You destroy the memory of a grandfather?
Now I'm pissed because I'm like, I have so many questions for him.
You should have let me forgive him.
You didn't let me talk to him about all these crimes that I watch on TV every day.
Oh,
now he's dead and now I can't fucking ask him shit.
You're coming from like a true crime addict perspective. Like, you got Dahmered? Like, come on.
Right.
Okay.
He could have told me this when he was alive so I could fucking talk to him.
Right.
What the heck? Now I'm extra pissed.
Yeah, I don't hate Amy's response. I just feel like there's some other considerations there that she didn't mention. I loved the part, though, where she said it's like, it's not your job. It's essentially your partner's job, the direct.
Yeah, you should be talking to your husband about this.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Next.
Please, because I need something a little bit more exciting.
Oh.
This felt a little downer.
This is from February.
February?
22nd.
22.
24. Friend shares more on social media than with me. Dear Amy, quote unquote Sandy and I are close friends from college. Our friend group has stayed close despite living in different states. We have a group chat and occasionally get together. Recently, Sandy has been going through a rough patch after a painful divorce. She is something of an influencer on social media and has been sharing all of her personal experiences about her mental health journey publicly. I feel conflicted about the disparity between her public sharing and the lack of openness within the very safe space of our close-knit group. While I understand that social media is her chosen outlet, I don't understand why she would do this instead of confiding in a group of people who actually know her well. I'm very private and find it strange when others overshare on social media. Additionally, Sandy hasn't initiated any conversation with me in a long time. I have very young children at home and a demanding work schedule. I often feel drained and unable to manage it all. However, I refrain from airing these issues publicly and only share these things with our friend group. Should I reach out to Sandy and note her recent posts asking how I can support her? If the answer is yes, how can I handle my frustration over her choices? Signed, Confused.
This is very valid.
Yes.
Super valid. How do you handle... So should I reach out to Sandy based on her social media posts and ask her how I can support her, right? That was the first question?
Yeah.
I think sure.
Like specifically talk to her about her posts, not just like reach out and be like, hey.
If you want to reach out for her problems and see how you can support her, yes. If you want to talk about her posts, the answer is no. This is where she's at. This is how she's coping. Let people cope how they need to cope. Why is she coping?
Divorce.
Right. Right. I was listening. Fuck, that pickleback did a number on me today. Yeah, this is how she's coping. I relate in a way that I was sharing a lot after a breakup, after a very, very long time of being in a relationship, you know, and sometimes it's easier to push it out into the world where you feel that your absolvement or your neutrality is going to supersede the judgment that you would get from your family and friends, or that you would think you would get from your family and friends.
Oh, okay.
But the other part is like, it's like a form of journaling, but with an audience. People need to work their things out in their own ways.
Mm.
I think you can feel whatever way you want to feel. You know, you may not agree with it.
Right.
But if this is a friendship that you cherish, you need to, and this is answering that second part of it, It's not about the post. It's about being a friend. And if the posts really bother you that much that you want to end them, then maybe it's about addressing those things that are bothering that person. But that's the wrong reason to go into it also.
I like your perspective about the feeling more free to, you know, post it to the internet.
Yeah, think
in, like in fear of like, everybody's just going to tell me everything I already know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's completely different. My brain went to, if I use social media for my venting space and get, you know, 100, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We're, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like all the reassurance and love and whatever in return, I'm not obligated to respond to them.
That's very valid and true.
And so I'm not, how many days my phone will go off? And I'm like, I just don't want to respond at all.
I know.
I'm and then victim. It's like people, yes, that was my second point. It's like, it's my closest friends and family. Mm-hmm. So then it's like I feel like I have to respond, but I just don't fucking want to right now.
Right.
I'm in my own space. I need whatever I need right now. This is where I'm at.
You're lucky.
I don't want to fucking that. Answer anyone.
I just fucking know that. Because I do the same thing.
But I feel obligated to. Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole nother torture. Mm-hmm. Like I'm already dealing with what I'm dealing with.
Right.
Now I don't want to feel guilty for not feeling like I want to fucking talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I just want to be alone right now. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm using social media because I don't have to fucking respond to my comments.
That's true.
And I don't feel guilty for not responding to my comments. I get to put a little heart on it and that's it.
Yeah, the thing there where I would kind of challenge what you're saying is that some people put things on social media to validate their feelings. So they're looking for those comments.
Yeah, of course. It feels good to get reassurance.
It's true. Makes especially us feel more confident in our decisions. And
especially when it's things that I don't, okay, I can heart your comment.
Right.
And continue on with whatever I'm doing.
Right.
It takes a lot of energy sometimes. When you're not in a place to like, I just don't want to deal with anyone right now. But like my friends or people I'm close to or whatever are like reaching out to me and it's energy. I don't want to tell you what's going on right now.
There is this social media influencer, more on YouTube than anything else. And he recently, I want to say it's this morning that I saw that video where he was like, what are the acceptable time frames for responding to inquiries based on the medium, like in person and social media and texting? And I wonder, just because you've kind of mentioned, like, I don't have the energy right now, but like texting, this person's like, I say 24 hours and it's like, it's very controversial. I send you a message, expect a response within 24 hours, no sooner. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, how realistic is that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a question, like a food for thought. I don't expect a 24-hour answer from you. I expect either, hey, I have to reach out to you and ask you a different question. You go like, whoop, missed the other one.
Yeah.
Or
today, tomorrow.
I know. Right. Right. Exactly. But also I know you and I think but I operate the same way where it's like when I'm ready to respond or I can respond, I will.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But we understand each other, so.
Right.
It's not appropriate for this response.
I mean, it is. It's an understanding that like there's a reason why she's doing what she's doing. And yes, as a friend, I can relate. Like,
right.
Bitch, tell me, how many times do we yell at our friend here that like goes through devastating shit and we're like, what the fuck? Exactly like, you didn't, like, how did you not call?
I didn't
want to
bother
like,
you.
Right.
But that's different. This one right here, I guess this goes to your point. So I'm like,
she's at where she's at.
Yeah.
Like, yes, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But like,
this person's going to share with you when they feel they can.
Right.
Or maybe they don't want to. Maybe they just want to put it out into the world. Maybe I wonder if social media is the new letter that you burn.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. I get to put it out there. Mm-hmm. I get positive feedback mostly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I don't know. I'm not an influencer. But I'm imagining something like this, going through a very difficult divorce. you're going to get more love than hate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I have no obligation to respond to that. So I get the love and support that makes me feel better without having to feel drained in responding, feeling forced or obligated to respond.
It's kind of like broadcasting it in an intercom to everybody that you would otherwise be responding to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And if so, there were two parts to this question. Did we answer both?
How can I handle my frustration over her choices?
I say don't reach out to her unless you know you can handle your frustration over her choices, but also know that those choices aren't yours. They're hers. You want to be a good friend? Let her decide whether or not you're going to be a part of that solution or the talk down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not on you to decide. But if you can't put that aside, do not reach out to your friend.
Yeah, this isn't about you right now.
It's not about you.
It's not.
No, your friend is hurting. They're asking for help in a way that you don't agree with. Fine, that's one story. But if you're going to reach out to offer a helping hand and reference a social media post, which I think is okay without judgment, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I saw your post. I just want to make sure you're okay. I want to know how to support you through all of this. Like, this isn't cool. Don't look for it to be like, well, maybe next time you should like keep it to yourself or reach out to somebody that you're close with in person.
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
why post that on Facebook? Why not message us? Like, that's going to make things worse.
Yeah. Meet people where they're at.
So yeah, do a simple,
we don't do it, but you should.
I saw your post. Like, I'm so sorry. I love you so much. And then just,
you know, here if you need me.
Right.
Yep.
Period. That's it. No other judgments, no other comments.
Yeah, so keep it about them.
Be a friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dear Confused, some people use social media to basically tip out their emotional dumpster and publish their every thought, feeling, and latest meal. This can seem extremely indiscreet or even performative because of the way this rakes in a lot of sympathy or commiseration from followers. You don't like this, but some people do. Having access to another person's struggles can inspire other social media users to feel less alone. Sandy has found her outlet. She may find that her public openness enables her to be more present for her close personal friends. She is venting to a crowd. Consequently, she is freeing up real estate in your group chats. You might be baffled by her choices, but harshly judging her won't help either of you. She's sharing her frustrations and challenges publicly on social media while you're sharing yours with the people who read this column.
I don't know
if that was an intentional jab.
That was not passive aggressive at all.
Yes, reach out to Sandy privately to check in, but do not accuse her of oversharing. She is broadcasting using her preferred channels. You should respond using yours.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Mostly because we were right.
Yeah.
But the broadcasting part, that one hit.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious. And I don't think it was meant to be, but she's right.
That's why I said, I don't know if that was like an intentional jab, but it's like, your friend's posting on Facebook and you're on fucking,
you're on Chicago Tribune.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't have anything to argue with. Let your friends be where they're at. Right. But we also know that that's a hard lesson. Next one.
This is from October 9th, 2023 at 4:30 a.m.
Oh.
Details emerge after soulmate's death. Details emerge after soulmate's death.
Wait, I'm vaguely remembering something similar from like a while ago. It's not this question because this one's just October of this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that's it. I don't have anything else to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be able to like recall more. But
this is the one I told you about, the housewife who found out her husband was cheating on her with a man for many, many years at his funeral.
Oh, did you just read the question to me without reading the question?
No, this is the question that I told you reminded me of the housewife who found out her husband was cheating on her with a man for years at his funeral.
Wait, we did that one.
No.
Or is this that question?
No.
I need to put down the wine.
Yes.
Because I like it when I'm intelligent more than when I have a buzz.
This question.
Yes.
Reminded me.
Reminded you.
Of the housewife on TV.
Oh, yes. You did tell me that.
Yes.
Yes.
Because earlier you said something about the question about the lady who found out her husband was having an affair mm-hmm. with another man. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that was not the question. That was.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yes.
We're back.
Wow.
Oh, that only took 5 minutes.
Thank you for listening. Send your questions, comments, and He's please your been doctors.
Ill-advised.
Like, seriously.
Dear Amy, I was with my boyfriend for 4 years. We lived together the entire time.
Oh.
He was my soulmate and stepped in to be the dad in my kids' lives. Oh. I have 3 children from my previous marriage. I thought everything was amazing and that he was my partner in life. He died 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Because we weren't married, I couldn't be the person to make the arrangements. His mother's family immediately started blocking me from any involvement in the funeral. He was always protective of his phone and kept it locked. He stated that this was because of past experience he'd had with personal information that was spread online. Well, after his death, I had access to his phone in hopes of locating a will, wishes, or anything to support getting him put to rest. I couldn't find any of that, but I did find intimate conversations he'd had with multiple women that were very sexual in nature. I'm talking about pictures, Facebook Messenger, and phone calls spanning the entire time we were together. All 4 years. I now feel devastated and disrespected. How do I grieve the man I was in love with when he was living a double life? I don't know if he actually had sex with these women or if it was entirely virtual in nature, but I'm not sure if it even matters. I know he loved me, but he wasn't the man I thought he was. How can I mourn and move on when I am hit with this whirlwind? Shock of reality.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so loaded.
Yeah.
That it needs to be on a menu and served with nachos. Right?
With extra guac.
Extra guac. Holy fuck. How can you mourn? The first thing that stuck out when you read it was that anger is one of those mourning steps.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon to be angry at that person, but usually it's like angry at them because they left you.
I was going to say I don't think this is right. The same as like the mourning process.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to a resolution here.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Because you want transparency. I need a certified psychotherapist that specializes in mourning to address this one because wow.
Yeah.
But
in addition to the family, his family shutting her out. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if in the 4 years she knew his family. Well, she must have, right?
No, the family knew she wasn't
the one.
Exactly. The family knew that she wasn't as serious as she thought they were.
Yeah, I'm not even going down that road because it's way too fucking long.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I'm with you, and let's talk about it later. How do you mourn something like that? You're already mourning. Now you have to grieve the fact that he wasn't just with you.
Yeah, now you're not even grieving anymore. Now you're like, what the fuck?
Right. You don't even have the opportunity to feel what you want to feel, what you need to feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something entirely different.
Oh, man.
Ugh. This is very telling because, of course, I'm going to cut out the last 5 minutes of silence
right.
while we think about this. But we're both, huh?
I'm at a loss because I'm thinking of, like, if it were you or mm-hmm. Shay or Shorty or one of our friend triangles, there's not enough
sure.
to make a circle or any other shape.
It might as well be a circle because there's so many dots.
How do you even respond to that? Like, first I'm devastated because he died.
Right.
But now it's a whole other yes, I'm devastated because he passed away, but now I'm fucking blindsided.
Right.
That he's been cheating on me the entire fucking relationship. Right. And his family's treating me like I was just one in the mix.
How do you...
Like, my response to you, I don't know. Do I feel like the more prevalent or immediate feeling would be the, like, shock of, like, this fucking man I thought was my soulmate had a lot of other soulmates.
Yeah. That, I think that's why, I don't even know if I finished that thought, because this wine tastes really good right now.
Oh.
So it's effective?
Yes.
Because this was a two. What? And how do you two?
What was the word I said this wine better? It was a word I don't even know what means, but it...
Oh. You mean macerate?
Macerate.
No, masticate's chewing. Oh. The thing I was getting at with, like, the mourning when you're angry... It's like, I feel like it's like, wrap it up in that. I don't think you can separate mourning.
I feel like in this situation, the mourning is kind of put on the back burner, so to speak.
Oh?
Like, yes, of course I'm mourning and devastated, but like, now I have this new information that I need to fucking process.
I see that as mourning too.
Okay.
Like when you mourn a relationship. Fair. You know, I see that as mourning too.
But I just feel like first I'm either pissed or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. First I'm baffled. And then once I get past that, then like, yes, then it kind of all convolutes. Is that?
No.
Okay.
Coalesces?
No fucking together. Clue what that word is. It
kind of amounts.
It just meshes. It all intersmushes.
Intersmushes is the name of this episode.
You know what I mean? First, I have to.
Yeah.
Like, first, I'm like baffled, and then probably like this motherfucker.
Right.
And then it's like, well, he's fucking dead. So
I guess for me to appropriately even approach a response there is, can you separate the mourning?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Because to me, I'm mourning a loss, I'm mourning what he wasn't, but at the same time, I'm still just mourning. I'm going to feel hurt on a different level. Absolutely. I agree with that. But I'm going to be angry because he died. I'm going to be angry because he lied. Where can I separate the two? Anger is anger. Do I separate the two? Do I deal with them concurrently? Do I know what I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with it? And these are questions. They're not like determinations. I'm like, I'm not giving professional advice here because I never will. Because if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I'm certainly the furthest from qualified.
I think it depends on, am I calling you in hysterics? Mm-hmm. Or am I calling you flipping shit?
To me, those are the same.
Okay. Am I calling you crying?
Okay.
Sad crying?
Yes.
Or am I calling you angry crying? That's going to be...
You're going to call me angry crying first.
So my response to like an angry cry is not going to be the same as a sad cry.
That's a great way to put it into perspective. Yeah. Thank you.
Because this has been mind fucking me like as a friend on the other end. Like my best friend calls me fucking Tommy's dead. And also, Tommy's been cheating the whole time, right? So my response as your friend is going to kind of be based off of, are you sad crying or are you like, I'm finding all of these fucking bitches. Like, first we're mad, you know? How can I mourn and move on when I am hit with this whirlwind? See? Okay. So I feel like I'm on the same level as this writer.
I think you are too.
Like, yes, I'm fucking sad and devastated that he's dead. But first, I'm fucking, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. But I still ask the same question. How do you separate them? Because at the end of the day, you're still mourning.
Because first, I need to accept that he's fucking been cheating on me. That changes a lot of things.
Well, I think that that's where I'm getting at. It's about personal priority. Which one are you prioritizing?
Well, she said,
I'm not saying don't deal with either, or like rock, paper, scissors, or which one to deal with. I think it's, for me, it's more of like, should there be an order of operations here to get over something? Or are you mourning all of it together? I don't think, just based on me.
She's not mourning it all together. She said, how can I mourn and move on?
Right.
She's saying, I'm not mourning.
There was the first part of that question. How do I get over this and mourn, or something like that?
How can I mourn and move on when I'm hit with this whirlwind?
Right. I think that that whirlwind is also,
I know he loved me, but he wasn't the man I thought he was. Yep. How can I mourn and move on when I'm hit with this whirlwind?
Yeah. To me, there, you're mourning two things.
She's not in the state of mourning yet.
Then you're trying to process two things. Maybe that's where I'm lost with my advice or what I can give to the direction for this person, because you're mourning the relationship you thought you had and you're mourning the man who's gone. And to me, I can't, how do you stop mourning two things at once when you're mourning? I can't be like, oh, he's gone. Oh, but he cheated on me.
She's not mourning yet.
Yeah.
She's saying, I can't mourn yet because I'm either pissed or shocked. Right? Like there's another feeling prevalent before I'm sad and mourning. So the question is, how do I mourn and get over this when I'm pissed or I'm baffled? You know what I mean? Like, okay, I can't even mourn yet because I'm so fucking mad.
I didn't take the question like that, so thank you. I'm going to give the same answer I've given to a lot of people personally. Just fucking feel it when it happens.
Yeah, that's what stumped me, is like, I don't know what advice I can give you, because if you're calling me, telling me, A, this person just fucking died, but then also this perfect man of my dreams.
I'm trying to think of what.
So I'm like, I can't. Would say to me. Right. And that's why I said, I guess it would depend on, like, are you sad tears? Are you mad tears? Or like, what's the prevalent emotion? What are you?
This doesn't answer your question.
Where are you feeling right now? Because then it's like, okay, well, first we need to fucking process him cheating.
I'm thinking about what you would say to me and how you would approach it with me. And I think you still would be in the same position where you're like, I have no fucking idea how you're feeling because I don't know how this makes me feel.
I can't kill him for you. Because
let's think about Steve. Mm-hmm. There was nothing you could say to me.
Literally nothing.
Nothing you could say to me. But there's nothing that you believed either in the grand scheme. Like, he got all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I still don't think that that was something nefarious. Like, let's just put that aside. You know what I mean? It's just, to me, when I'm coming to you with that, based on that experience with that ex, it's you being like, you're affirming what I'm saying and what I'm feeling. You're not giving me advice. You're not giving me a way to cope. You're saying, yep. That sucks. Yep. That's terrible. Yep. He's a piece of shit. Yep. You deserve better. Yep. You're probably better off alone, like you just stated. You're affirming what I'm feeling in that moment, because that's what grieving is. Mm. How are you going to grieve and move on in this moment? To me, is feel what you're feeling in that moment. Allow yourself to feel it. Either you're feeling him passing or you're feeling him cheating. Feel it. Sit in it. Find out where it makes you feel physically. Hold on to that feeling. And when it's passed, you get up and you go about what you were supposed to be doing that day. Mm-hmm. That's mourning to me, and grieving. You are mourning and grieving.
Yeah, you're processing.
Yep. And that's exactly what that is.
Yeah. You need to process first, and then whatever feelings come up.
Yep. And then sit in them. What are you going to do? Approach him?
Right.
Dig him up?
Right.
You know?
That makes it worse. Can you?
I know.
That, I can't even confront it. You now?
Yep.
Ugh.
I know. But I miss you.
Right.
But I miss you. I can't confront you. I can't fucking mourn you. But I miss you.
I can't punch you in the face. but I don't want to.
Because I can't. Because if I punch you in the face the next time I see you, it means it's the last time I'm going to remember you.
But just...
I'm very, very, very curious about Amy's answer here.
Dear Shock, the famous five stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, and acceptance.
Wait. I
added an extra and in there.
And is that in order or does it matter?
Yes, there is an order.
There's an order?
Yes.
Okay.
You might find yourself moving straight into the anger stage and staying there for a while. Given the way this man's family rejected and prevented you from participating in the funeral, as well as the evidence you've uncovered, you quite naturally feel betrayed.
Amen.
My instinct is that even though you say you are looking for a will on his phone, you might have subliminally been looking for pretty much what you found.
I thought it. I didn't say it, but I thought it.
And now you must deal with your children in the very best way you can, allowing them to love and mourn this man without focusing on your own anger or his betrayal. Keep busy tying up the loose ends of this loss. Find housing if you need to, and reestablish yourself with friends and family. Understand that if you're stuck in anger, it will affect your life and future relationships. Writing down a daily account of your progress and attending a grief group or individual counseling will help. Yeah, housing, what? Find housing and tying up loose ends.
Did he? Was there something about him providing financially?
There was nothing about that.
The keep yourself busy tying up the loose ends part of that, I'm actually torn on whether or not that would actually achieve anything. I feel like that would postpone the mourning if you keep busy trying to focus on that.
Find housing if you need to and reestablish yourself with friends and family. Yeah, those two. You're dealing with your children. Find housing if you need to. I feel like left field.
I feel like the find housing thing is like the, you didn't tell me, but for legal purposes, I need to consider this. That's almost how it feels like to me. If that's not exactly it. But
keep busy tying up the loose ends of this loss. I feel like I don't know what that means.
It's just... questions. Keep busy asking and solving the questions that you have after this loss, but you're not going to get those answers.
Right.
You need to be okay where you're at. So how do we get that?
Right. Yeah.
We always say meet people where they're at, but how do you meet yourself where you're at?
You just got to process.
And mourn.
Yeah. You got to process. First, I'm pissed. Second, I'm sad. Third, I'm, you know.
I think the biggest thing you need to take away from all of this is you're never going to get a firsthand account.
Yeah, nobody can tell you how to get through the things you're going through.
But also, you're never going to get firsthand from him, even if he was honest, what really happened.
Yeah, there's no closure, so to speak.
You won't have that, right. Thank you. That's actually a very better.
Yeah, very better one.
But to get
I'm
to that.
I'm very better.
Yeah, I'm very better too. Very.
You're very something. Yeah.
That's the part that gets me. Keep yourself busy.
Keep busy tying up the loose ends of this loss.
No, that's avoidance to me. And we all know if you avoid a loss, that has other psychological impacts.
Tying up the loose ends. I'm super confused.
Trying to figure out, keep going through his phone. That's all I can think of.
Tying up the loose ends. You can't. His family, you weren't legally married. So you...
Right.
You know what I mean?
But the other part, the other loose ends are like other people he was talking to when she went through his phone. What are you going to try to tie?
That's what I'm.
You only have so much to, I'm going to stand by what I said. Feel it when you feel it. Allow yourself to feel it. Don't run from it. That is like the main ingredient.
Yeah, we'll worry about the morning later.
Disaster.
We'll worry about the morning later. Right now, you're feeling,
like if you mourn them intermittently at the same time, right now I miss you and I wish you were here and you're dead. Feel it.
And yeah, I agree. I just said that because the specific question was like, how can I mourn him if I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm not mourning him right now because I'm fucking whatever. So.
I see what you're saying. And I think this, my response goes back to like, I can't separate them. like his memory is going to remind me of everything I've encountered with him, good and bad.
Right. Like I can't even be sad right now because I'm fucking pissed.
So sit in it.
Right.
You got to, if you mourn him,
you got to process that part first. Sit in that too. And then it'll just be waves and you just got to
sit in what you're feeling.
Surfboard.
And we hate that. You have no better two people to say like, fuck that.
Fuck that.
But unfortunately, it's helped us in many ways. Mm. Even though there are still a lot of things we won't sit with, there's a lot we will. That response confused the fuck out of me.
It started off strong.
It did. I don't think it's a bad response. I just don't think it covers everything.
My instinct is that even though you say you were looking for a will on his phone, you might have subliminally been looking for pretty much what you found.
I did think of that.
That's like a
I did think
bitch, he knew he was cheating on you.
That's exactly what it is.
Just like the funny, you're judging your friend for posting on social media, yet here you are.
Yeah. But I actually did think of that when you read that the first time.
Yeah, my thought was like, you're not blindsided because we're human. That's what we do.
Right.
Right? Zero judgment. Because I can say the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't blindsided. If I look back, I fucking knew. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change anything.
Right. Just like I didn't say it, I don't think it needed to be said by Amy.
But
it wasn't.
Like, that doesn't change anything, whether I knew it or not, whether I was ignoring red flags or not.
Yep.
This is still what I'm feeling.
I'm fucking feeling.
Like.
Just fucking feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it. But I didn't bring it up to the surface because it wasn't relevant to me.
Yeah, it didn't need to be said.
I don't think so either. I'm glad to see that we're aligned.
Yeah.
On all of these.
We can get behind the journaling.
Yes.
We can get behind the journaling and counseling and or counseling.
100%.
That was probably her strongest.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%. Journaling is so, I've said it on this podcast a few hundred times. Yeah. Journaling, there's some sort of catharsis behind journaling.
It's so weird.
Yep.
And like almost annoying. Mm-hmm. There's been so many times that I was like, I'm intentionally not going to journal right now because I just fucking know that something's
I'm not ready to get over it.
Yes, right, right.
And that I think that's that Facebook question. Mm. That's one of those, this is me journaling and I don't care who reads. Mm-hmm. I remember when me and that's twice I'm bringing up Steve broke up that I was journaling on a blog. So rather than put it on Facebook.
Mm, yep. I remember your blogs.
Yep. And that was an experience. In fact, I remember journaling and trying to email it to myself at work. And I'm so glad I had this boss who was super understanding. And then I went to go email it to myself and I got a message that says, you swore, essentially like you swore in this, you're fucked. Oh. I was like, what? So I spent all day sweating to go to my boss and let her know, like.
I emailed myself. A journal entry.
And I was just, you know, I had a moment where I was thinking and I couldn't stop. So I wrote it down. Emailed it to myself and she literally laughed at me and was like, did you swear in it? And I was like, yes. She's like, I've done it too.
Oh, that's funny.
By far my favorite boss in the whole world ever, but I digress.
Yeah. Journal, therapy, processing, acceptance.
Oh, acceptance will get there.
And then and then you'll go through the waves and the stages, and that's okay.
That's right.
Feel how you need to feel and keep going.
Yeah. These were so far from our normal.
Yeah. I liked them.
I loved them. They elicited way too much thought for this state that I'm in right now. But that I can admit that means I'm coming down. Thank you for hanging tight with us. You know the drill. Send us your questions, your comments, and all your concerns.
Please send us your drinks. We're striking out over here.
Fucking, we should start shaking cocktails for these fucking. Oh.
Right.
There are other beverages in this world. Wow. That IQ. but for both of us, just went down like 30 points.
How long
points,
is it, Ben?
2 and something years.
Great.
We've done some cocktails. They were just pre-mixed.
I'm scared to buy a lot of those mixed.
Me too. Beverages. But you know what? At this point, with the way that we've been striking out on wine, it can't get worse. Famous last words.
Famous last words.
But thanks for sticking with us no matter what you're drinking. And if you followed our recommendations, then you're on the right path to righteousness.
You too will be looking for other recommendations. You've been following us.
Exactly. And if you haven't, well, that's a shame on you. But at any rate, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. You smell like a Glade plug-in.
I'm post it anyway.
Yeah, it's your hot body, and thank you for listening.
Cute. Been ill-advised. Had nothing to do with anything, but I like it.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Ill-advised is hosted and produced by Stephanie and Ray,
aka your Beths.
Send us your questions, your comments, all of your concerns,
and your drink recommendations
to illadvisedpodcast@gmail.com. You can catch up on all of our episodes and our show notes at illadvisedthepodcast.com.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at illadvisedthepodcast. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe
on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.
You've been ill-advised.